that this service is a blessing to you all, and enjoyed the service thus far, the singing, songs about heaven and future life. Here, right before the preaching service, good to think about that, good to meditate on that, good to keep the reward in view. For some time now, it has been on my heart to bring a message that's a bit different than what we often have on a Sunday morning, but it's just been on my mind for several reasons. And I know it's a bit, like I said, it's a bit different, but we'll just see how the Lord leads here. You know, we hear a lot about Jesus, about God, about worship, about Christian life. We hear a lot about doctrines, practices, but you know, there's another power in this world. Satan, the father of lies, is out to destroy the work of God and to ruin people's lives and drag men and women down into destruction and perdition. The tempter that deceived Eve, the first mother, the mother of all living. And then Adam is still out trying to destroy and enslave anyone he can. His goal is to take as many as possible with him to eternal damnation. For some, the path to destruction is slow and easy. For others, it is so sudden, at least appears to be so sudden and dramatic. You all have probably seen neighbors and dear friends who started down the road of sin and wonder how things can get so bad so fast. For a text this morning, I invite your attention to Acts chapter 10. I'm looking at verse 38, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We have here Peter opening his mouth in Cornelius' house to preach a gospel, the first gospel message ever preached to a Gentile audience, as far as I know, in the scripture. A Gentile audience, at least after the formation of the early church. After the upper room experience and so on. Apostle Peter preaching here. In verse 38 he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This morning the title is Oppressed of the Devil. Some years ago, I was in an institution, and it was an institution that was different than some. There were people there that had some challenges to deal with, and I saw in that place that day a girl of about 11 years of age. This girl was going from one side of the room over to the other side of the room, kicking at the walls, bashing around and beating and just hammering on stuff. She was just totally out of control. Sometime later, this continued and continued. And I watched, and a little bit later, I saw one man on one arm, another full-grown man, law enforcement officers on the other arm. I saw one man hanging on to one leg, and another man hanging on to another leg. I'm talking about men bigger than myself. Each one had a limb of this girl, and they were going to take her into a room to deal with her. And I'm going to tell you something. That was probably as close as I got to see right up front a person that I consider to be oppressed of the devil. And it just again and again comes back to my mind, if it wouldn't have been in order for a person at that time, before they took her into that room, it was like right there's the door and then they were going to go. They took her right past the place where I was standing. If it wouldn't have been in order for a person to just stop and say, could we have a bit of prayer here? Because Jesus would have. What was the problem with that girl? And just let me ask you a question. If that was at an age of 11 or 12, what's happening in her life today if she's still living? I'm telling you, folks, it's oppression of the evil one. And sometimes we think that this stuff is way out there somewhere. We think that this stuff is in another planet, possibly. But these things, my friends, are very, very close home. Is that somebody, you, this morning? There's a couple Bible stories we can read. And when I read stories like this in the scripture, I ask, with all of the drug culture, and with all of the rap music, and with all of the pop music, and all of the immoral freedom, so-called, or whatever it is, this whole no rules, no anything, how many people that can dress plain and can look right are living under diabolic oppression? This is just what's coming to my mind. It's been on my mind and still is there. It's good to think about other things, but I wonder, and I wonder some more. Mark chapter 5. We're going to read a little story here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And you probably recall the story. What happened whenever those evil spirits went into those pigs, and about 2,000 of them were choked in the sea. And then it came to pass in verse 15, when people came out and found this man and saw Jesus there, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. If you would think, if you were one of the people that had tried to bind that man with chains, like Houdini was one of them kind of people in bygone years, and then you saw a person like that break chains because of power that was not his own, demonic power within him, I'm sure that if you were to see a person like that sitting clothed in the right mind, you might have a few thoughts of fear as well. Because evidently somebody had tried already to constrain or restrain this individual. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out with tears, saying, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the false spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he was come into the house. His disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And while we're thinking of this and looking at other illustrations, let's go to one more, Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. Talking about women that ministered to Jesus in his earthly ministry. Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. What kind of a life will a person live who is infected with seven devils? What kind of a life is that? Just this past weekend, I'm not sure if it was Saturday, Sunday, somewhere in that time frame, just right out here in Harrisburg, there was some kind of an incident right by the Susquehanna River, in which a car right by one of the bridges went down over and was down there by partially submerged in water. And whenever law enforcement found the vehicle, there was a man and a woman and a two-year-old girl on the roof of the car. Of course, most of you know, if you cross the Susquehanna late, there's a lot of ice out there. The man on top of that roof, seeing the law enforcement show up, pulled a knife on the woman who was on the roof of the car and injured her. And it wasn't long before he had some other fire, another arm, and was going to use that on the law enforcement. And of course, the law enforcement put him down and he disappeared in the water. They rescued the woman and also the two-year-old girl. What makes a person do that? And it might be somebody near you that's into that kind of a life. Sad, horrible. The oppression of the devil. I remember one day we were on our way to the congregation Lakeview. We were on our way up there. And just as we were getting off Route 80 to go north on 36 up through Cook's Forest, we stopped to get a little bite to eat. It was a hot day. And we got a little something. And I noticed there was a waitress taking care of us or standing behind the counter where we paid for our things. And her arms were cut. Cut, cut, cut. This arm, cut, cut, cut. What's making that? What's doing that? Scars and scars and scars. And I had a real burden in my heart to talk, but there was customers coming in and coming in and coming in, right, whatever they were wanting to purchase. And we just went out in the car and I said, children, wife of mine, there's a needy soul behind that counter in there. Why is that? Did you see that? I asked them. So we had at least a word of prayer before we left. Because there's someone there that's oppressed. And unless they are freed from that power, they will die and go to hell forever. That's just the way it is. Do we care about that? Does that get a hold of us? Oppressed of the devil. And I'm sad to say that I've had some dear loved ones close home that have struggled with the same thing, cutting themselves. I could say more. Oh my! And what are we going to do about it? Want to look this morning a bit at the condition of the oppression of the devil. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. I found this very interesting that this came right in the context and even into some of the same chapters of our Sunday school lesson this morning. Comes right into the same context in one of the same chapters, and we're in Isaiah chapter 14. It's in the context of Babylon and God's prophecies against them. But out of the middle of nowhere, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the nations, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the nation, kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house." Did you notice the last phrase of verse 17? If you are oppressed of the devil, if you know someone who is oppressed of the devil this morning, he will not open the house of his prisoners. If you're one of his prisoners, he will not let you loose, ever. For any reason, he will not let you loose, as long as you're under that power. Proverbs 21, I'm sorry, 5:21. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. It's giving a lot of teaching in this chapter and surrounding chapters about moral purity and what happens if we go the wrong way. It's very clear. It's very clear teaching in this chapter. In chapter 5, we're going to look now at verse 21. "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and the greatness of his folly shall he go astray." Do you know this morning that the chains of evil, the chains of habit, are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken? And to you it might seem like a small thing, this little video clip that somebody sent you, maybe some ungodly cousin, this little trip to the beauty parlor that you want to make, this little thing, maybe what would I look like anyhow if I did this or that? What would it look like if I wore this outfit? How would it be? It wouldn't do me any harm to listen to some of this music. And you go down that road, and the chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. It says here, he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. And that applies to the female side as well. There was one time a Christian man, from what I understand, he grew up in a Christian home, but he decided he's going to loosen up on his music. Maybe the church doesn't allow it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I can handle this stuff. He got a girlfriend, I'm not sure what kind. And the day came that they stood by his graveside after he'd committed suicide. His girlfriend, totally beside herself, "Why did you do it, Paul?" She just yelled out. He was held by the cords of his sin. Ungodly music took him to suicide in the grave. The oppression of the devil. Jesus said, "Whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin." And other languages, including Spanish, say, "He whoso committeth sin, keeps on living and practicing sin, is a slave of sin." 1 John 3:8, "He that committeth sin, he that keeps on practicing sin and practicing sin, is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Do you believe these things this morning? Have you seen someone in this condition? Is that somebody you? Looking at the condition of the oppression of the devil, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He openeth not the house of his prisoners. He will not let the trap loose." If your foot's in that trap, if your mind is in that trap, if your hand's in that trap, he will not open the snare. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. These are Bible verses. I remember a person that I knew very, very, very well. Back in the mid-90s, singing a song that was famous back then, "Hotel California." Be interesting to know how many of you ever heard that song or know what I'm talking about, that title, "Hotel California." Be interesting to know how many of you actually know what it says. I know I'm preaching to a pretty clean audience this morning. Praise God for that. But these kind of songs are out there. And in the lyrics of that song, and I heard it often enough to know what it, some of what it says. And one of the lyrics says this way: "You can go in anytime you want to, but you never get out. And there's any kind of sin inside Hotel California." And it was a symbolic song. And yet it was very, very graphic of a person who will not open the house of the prisoners and won't open the snares and won't give a person liberty once they're bound. They're bound by the cords of their sin. Hotel California, you can go in any time. It was a famous song back in that time. It was a man of God listening to this fellow singing this song. He says, "You know what? I worked with some fellows on a construction job one day," and I said, "I heard that song. And if it's not for the power of Jesus, he's still living there in Hotel California. He went in one day, but will he ever come back out?" I'm serious, folks. This stuff of oppression of the devil is nothing to play with. It's nothing to toy with. The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. Some specific aspects, and I forgot to tell you what oppressed actually means by merit of the dictionary. I wanted to do that when I open, but I didn't. If you just want to know what oppress means, it means to govern harshly, to keep down unjustly or by cruelty, to weigh down, to lie heavily on. Oppress, govern harshly, keep down unjustly or by cruelty, to weigh down, to lie heavily on. What are some signs of the devil's oppression? Where does this come? How do you see this? There are evil spirits, and some people even see them with their eyes. I recall listening to the testimony of a man who had an ungodly father, and this man died in his sin, died in evil, died in ungodliness. And the son didn't know what to do except that he walked around that bedroom and prayed. He just kept praying. And the man was near the death's door. And he says, please keep praying. He says, whenever you pray, those evil demons aren't up at my ear. They're not nipping at me. He said, I see them flying all through this room. He said, keep praying. He says, whenever you pray, at least they're not bothering me so much. He said, I see them all over this room. They're bothering me like everything. A little while later, as death was coming near, he says, what's wrong with my feet? He said, my feet are starting to get hot. They're starting to get hot. He said, those demons are still flying around in here. Do something. And he died with hot feet and with demons flying around the room. This is not made up stuff, folks. This is real. The oppression of the devil. There are people who hear voices. Voices. Kill somebody. Do evil things. I mean, go after this over here. Do that over there. Take your own life. This stuff is so hard and so heavy. I don't care to scare anybody this morning, but this stuff is really real. I've read stories of people that have broken dishes in the house over nothing but presence of evil spirits and a lot of other things besides. Knives and guns and whiskey and immorality, anything ungodly and a combination of any of the above. Violence, occult activity, strange occurrences, physical conditions. You say, really? Physical conditions? Yes, physical conditions. Luke chapter 13. This woman came to Jesus when he was preaching in a synagogue on a Sabbath day. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus hath healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. Did you notice what it said? This daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years. And there was a physical condition here. I knew of a person that whenever she would hear a message, like I'm preaching right now, when the call of the gospel was serious and clear, and people like Pablo Yoder preaching, or somebody like that preaching the gospel, she would sit there just burping and belching and going on. I'm going to tell you something. That kind of thing is oftentimes a sign of demonic oppression. There is a kind of seizures that occurs because of malfunctions in the brain. But a lot of epileptic, a high percentage of epileptic seizures is a sign of this very thing we're talking about. A high percentage, and people that have studied the spirit world and know more about it than I do have verified that reality. My dear friends, this morning, the devil will oppress and take down anyone who he will. One day someone came to Jesus and said, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. other specific aspects of devil's oppression, vices. Many are enslaved to vices. Vices that require more and more indulgence, that give less and less pleasure, consequently becoming extremely addicting. And I don't care if you're talking about drunkenness, and maybe no one knows what I'm talking about in this room with that one, but whenever you have drunkenness, you have get a stronger drink, have a better experience, get a stronger hangover, more alcohol content, more of it at least. And the moral sins, and so on. And yet the addiction leads to worse evil, regardless of what track it's on. More drugs, stronger drugs. Ask anyone that's been there, done that, they can tell you. And other perversions, and everything leads to something, it's all steps down, it never steps up. Never steps up while you're under the power of the evil one. Never! It only goes down. Devil's oppression, anger, not only oppresses the angry person, but makes them very oppressive in nature and toward others. And very, very quickly, 1 John tells us, he that hateth his brother is a what? Murderer. The Bible says it. They don't like the person, they can't stand the person, and sometimes they do away with the person. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. Anger. Bitterness. Peter said to Simon the sorcerer these words in Acts 8:23, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity, bound by the cords of his sin." In Spanish it says the prison of iniquity. Bitterness. And I know I've preached on that one before. Probably any one of these. Immorality. I've already talked about that. Covering up the last thing that I did. Trying to keep it hidden from somebody. Keep it hidden. And it always goes downhill. Never goes uphill. And you wonder why abortions are. And why taking contraceptive pills is. It's to hide something. What do you do with a child that's on the way because of ungodly involvement, immoral involvement, playing around with impurity, and the devil makes it look so easy. Just go this step. But he's got the next 50 steps planned for you. As soon as you go one, you give him a finger, he'll take your hand and your arm and your whole body eventually. He will not open the house of his prisoners. You will be holden by the cords of your sin. And so will I if we go down that road. Deceit and lying. There are some people that lie so bad they don't know what they're doing. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Deceit and lying. And we have to tell a bigger lie tomorrow to cover for the lie we told yesterday. Oh, my friends, this whole thing of where all this goes, and anger and bitterness and immoral conduct, there's a line of a song that says, "Broken relationships had used me till I was done in." And that's why it is that so many movie stars, they starred in such and such and such a movie or whatever it is, and died at 26, and died at 19. And died at 20. They die young. They've given their lives for this. And broken relationships use them till they're done in and done out. So many of the Hollywood movie stars, so many of them, almost every one of them, dies young. Because whenever they're done with the life they had in front of the cameras, they turn them out in the street like a bunch of dogs. And they have nothing to live for. They're worthless. They're gone. They're physically burned out. And the devil sits back and laughs because a few more souls just went down the road to destruction and eternal damnation. Fear. the oppression of fear. Why does Paul tell Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? I'm telling you, folks, there's fear in this world, terrible fear. Fear. My aunt was taking care of some children one day, and I don't know if you ever saw back in 20, 30 years ago, the movie of the Chainsaw Massacre, and I've never seen it. All I saw was the picture of the advertisement. I'm telling you, folks, these children would see this stuff as they watched their TV screens. And this one child come up to my aunt and says, I'm so scared of that guy in the movie Chainsaw Massacre. Fear. And living under that oppression. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And there's a lot of people that live under the fear, and are under the bondage of fear, and it's part of the devil's oppression. Maybe all the stuff that I've talked about so far is out of your range. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. But there might be somebody that has lived under the harassment of doubt. Are you sure you're saved? You remember what you did back there? You remember that? The harassment of doubt. Are you sure God forgave you for that back there? That stuff that you did. That you shouldn't have done. You know full well you were doing with bad things, and your life was this and this and this and this. And the devil can harass you to no end. No end! I mean, it never quits. And you say, is there help for me anywhere? And then you, on top of that, you get sick. On top of that, you have an emotional struggle. And this comes like a ton of bricks on top of your soul, and you say, God, is there any help out there? Because the devil just harassing with doubt, harassing with discouragement, oppressing and oppressing and oppressing. Recently I heard this song. And couldn't find it in any book at our house that I was aware of, so I found out what the words were. It talks about a person that has lived under this kind of oppression. While walking down a memory lane not long ago, Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. Has that ever been you? He brought the thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving. I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your deepest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. "You're right for all the things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him. It's under the blood. Many times I stumbled along this earthly way. I failed 1,000 times before. Of that I am ashamed. I'm sorry for the things I've done. The Lord could hear my cry. But I rejoice to hear his voice." This was his reply. "Victory was given when you were born again. I washed your stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer bear the mark that sin had brought your way. with happiness and peace of mind, you now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him, it's under the blood. Before I go any further, I'd just like to make a few comments as what the devil's answer is for his oppression. What's the devil's answer for the oppression that he wages upon your soul? What did he do to Adam and Eve? Well, you have a problem here, Adam. You better get some fig leaves sewed together. Do something to cover it up, which you did wrong. There's shame and guilt. And the devil loves to magnify that and magnify that and magnify that. Look how huge it is. Remember the words of the song I just read? Don't you think you deserve a place with me in hell for all the stuff you did? That's Satan's words, but it's not Jesus' words. The devil offers more sin. There's another level to this. You can go deeper yet. You can take another step down or five steps down. You can go further and longer. In the meantime, live ever entertained. Keep the TV screen on all night. You can be absorbing that stuff in your subconscious mind with the TV in your bedroom or with the earbuds in your ears. You can still soak it up. You can listen to it. It's all in feeding into your self-conscious. More entertainment, more music, another video, another movie. That'll probably handle it. That'll help put it down. That'll take care of the fear. Really? No. What else does he offer? Suicide. Just kill yourself. It'll be over then. It'll be done then. I'm going to tell us this morning that the devil has many, many counterfeits in life, but he offers nothing in death. The devil offers nothing in death. The moment you die, you're gone. If you die a sinner, and the devil won, he offers nothing in death. Name the sin that you want to name. One of the biggest problems as we go into the next step this morning is that there seems to be an invisible rubber band. If this is your life and you're trying to walk away from this, you're headed this way, away from this, toward godliness, represented by the triune God, just heading toward God, toward good things, Mount Zion, whatever you want to say. It seems like there's a cord, a rubber band, that somebody needs to learn what it is to slice this thing. Because so often people see they're in a bad shape, and they go to a reform program, rehab. They go to a place to get some help, possibly. And somehow, unless this line is broken, there's this whole rubber band or toe strap that just pulls them right back into it again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I'm going to do better yet. You just wait a little bit. I'll soon get things in order here. I'll try to do a little bit better. But I'm going to tell you something. Trying to do a little bit better does nothing beside the power of the blood of Christ. Nothing at all. We need some power. We need some prayer. We need some prayer and fasting, perhaps, to break this chain of evil. We just have to have it. So what does Jesus answer? Oh, I love the verses out of Psalm 102. You may turn there. What is Jesus' answer? We already looked at what the devil's answer is. What's Jesus' answer? Does Jesus have an answer for this issue? Does Jesus have an answer for the oppression of the devil? You know, God's interest in your situation this morning, if you're oppressed, whether it be anything we've named or plenty of things we forgot to name. What's Jesus' answer? Psalm 102, verse 19. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. And what is he doing? Verse 20. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. To loose those that are appointed to death. Those that are in the prison house of the devil, they're appointed to death, and they will go to eternal damnation unless somebody does something soon. And there's God hearing the groaning of the prisoner. And he wants to loose those that are pointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. And God can see that person, what they would be like if they were once freed from that power, if they were once freed from that sin that binds them, if they get that rubber band snapped that pulls them back, and by the blood of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving their life with self-denial put in place, accountability, and things that are necessary, they can find their way out and find their way up to Mount Zion and Jerusalem. He sees that they have a place, they have potential in his kingdom. Isaiah 61 is common verses there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. And it talks a little bit in the next verse or so about deliverance to the captives and setting at liberty them that are bound. And that's the power of Jesus this morning. And I trust you believe in it, because it does what it says. It will work. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thee with thine hand, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Do you know that God used those words when Ananias, if I have it straight, gave the wording and the commission to the Apostle Paul? He says, I have anointed you to open blind eyes and to bring prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. At least sending for a light to the Gentiles, it's in this context here. I should have checked that, but still the idea carries. And God has that power to open blind eyes and bring them out of prison and out of the darkness of the prison house. If you're bound by sin this morning, there's hope, there's life. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus said unto them, to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't need this rubber band to pull you back into it. You've seen it happen so many times, possibly experienced it yourself. But unless something breaks that power of evil, you'll go right back to where you were. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. New life, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In the same verse it says that he who committeth sin is the servant of sin. It said, for this cause was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil and do away with that oppression. One thing I have to make clear is there still will be reaping for sin, but the guilt and shame of it, although we're ashamed of what happened, we can still know it's forgiven and under the blood, and that's where it needs to be. Praise God, that's possible. Jesus Christ was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil and do away with that oppression. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It says that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and then verse 2 is what I actually wanted. I should have that in by memory, but for some reason it's slipping me just now. It says here, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just have a question for you as we bring this message to a close. Are you oppressed of the devil this morning? Is there a need in your life today? Are you oppressed or are you free in Jesus? I know some of you probably realize that there's reaping for past sin. but that does not need to condemn your soul. The reaping for past sin does not need to condemn your soul. But I guess this morning, we're going to do something just a little bit different. We're going to bow our heads for prayer, and after that, we're going to sing a hymn. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, I want anyone that's in this assembly to have an opportunity to get free. I really do. It's God's will that you be free from the oppression of the devil. Let's bow our heads. Your God in heaven.